Hi, this is Klaatu. I'm at Southeast Linux Festival. It's going really fantastic. I'm talking to someone from the Free Software Foundation.
Hi, this is Deborah Nicholson.
Cool. Hi, Deborah. So you're here. You actually are, like, with the FSF, right?
I work in the Boston office.
Cool. What do you do?
I'm our membership coordinator, so I do all of the outreach around our membership program, and then all of the care and feeding to make sure people get their bootable membership cards and
nice.
Have their logins and everything.
So the new deal with the, when I joined, it was with the, it was a little wallet-sized CD.
Yes.
Which shattered in my wallet.
Yeah.
The new one is really cool. It's like a plastic USB.
It's a credit card size.
Yeah.
That fits in the wallet. And it plugs in a USB drive, and it boots off of that. And it's running GNUSense, which is a 100% free operating system, no blobs.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And now I heard, and I don't know, you might know this, you might not, and I don't even remember where I heard it, binary blobs in the kernel itself on some distributions?
Yeah, some versions of the kernel have binary blobs. This is running... Blag, and they have that blag, their kernel, is deblobbed, and then that project's now gone on to the Linux Libre, which is run out of South America. So they're kind of keeping and maintaining the deblobbed kernel.
Very cool. Okay, so that is really neat. And it's a really cool little thing. How much is membership anyway? I don't even know.
If you're a student, it's $60 for the year.
That's right, yeah.
And if you're not a student, it's $120. And
okay.
A lot of folks opt to do that as a $10 monthly. So it's like $5 a month or $10 a month that goes automatically. So.
And you get a really cool, like you can alias your name, your email to like a FSF email address,
exactly.
Right? Cool. So, okay, so really, I mean... Aren't you guys just overdoing it? I mean, come on. We don't, I mean, you know, free software. I mean, come on. I mean, there's going too far, right?
In what sense? You mean that...
I mean, come
like
on. People have
like...
to use MP3 and .doc and stuff, right? I mean...
No, they don't. Actually, they can have control of every line of code on their own machines.
And still get their work done.
There are definitely a few places where it's sort of like... Oh, that's not super ideal. Like, I want to use, people want to use proprietary software in this, that, or the other place. This past year, we celebrated the 25th anniversary of the GNU project.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to sort of, looking forward, like, what are the 10 or 12 things that are kind of holding people back from being able to go with a fully free system on their machine?
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of ID'd a lot of those things. One at the top of the list is Ganache, which is a free Flash implementation.
Yeah.
We actually are supporting that one pretty heavily. Rob Savoy is doing some amazing work, and
okay.
He's really close
cool.
on that.
That's cool.
He's a little bit hamstrung in that he has to, like, definitely document very, very carefully everything he does so that it doesn't end up looking like a DMCA violation.
Okay.
Like a retro engineering kind of thing.
Okay.
So it has to be really well documented what they're doing over there. Some of the other stuff are, like, really specific stuff, like, some of the, nuts and bolts things that people use with their Oracle database or, like, Mathematica or, free Skype we've been working on.
Right, right.
And so the strategy is a little different for each project. For some projects, it's a matter of letting people know, like, hey, you could use a free version of this. For other ones, it's kind of like, oh, wow, we'll have to start from scratch because,
right.
like, most of that stuff is not out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then for other things, it's just like, this just needs a little bit of a push to get up to the current version. And the Ganache thing is like that. Like, so, there's always a new version.
Yeah, of
and
course.
So they have to keep up.
You're always
so they just
playing
need
catch
a little
up.
Bit
yeah.
of a push to be able to, get to where they're on top of that. And, so that's, the goal is to make it even easier for people to use all of the free software that is out there.
So is FSF GNU and GNU is FSF, or is one not the other?
The Free Software Foundation houses the GNU project. The GNU project is like specifically like all of the software projects that work with the Linux kernel. I mean, they could work with other kernels. Oh, we don't want to go there. But all of the GNU stuff... that's software development.
Yeah.
So the Free Software Foundation houses the GNU project, but we also do a lot of user education, especially around issues like DRM and operating system choice. We have the GPL compliance lab, so all of the licensing work and all of that sort of thing, like you know, all of the compliance things that happen. That's all at the FSF. And, you know, we also, we host Savannah, which is kind of related to the GNU project, but
it's just the non-GNU stuff that is GNU compliant or whatever.
Right,
like
exactly.
GPL compliant.
And we have the free software directory, so that's like around 6,000 projects that we've looked at and vetted and know are fully free.
Cool.
So.
Well, it's really great. I mean, not only the GNU project and the FSF, but I mean some of the side projects I really like the Bad Vista. That one really cracked me up.
And Defective by Design.
Defective by Design is one of my favorites.
The yellow suits are as warm as they look.
Yeah, they're. I mean, those side projects. I think those are almost easier for a lot of people to get into, because a lot of people aren't into the super like, gee, what's wrong with I don't know, you know, like these blobs that people talk about that they don't, you know, what is that? No one knows. But I mean, Defective by Design. Yeah, I mean, that's something that people can latch on to.
It's definitely been you know, I mean, nothing about DRM is good, but
right.
It has been an amazing opportunity for us to have a conversation about free software with people that we never had before.
Yeah, and
so,
something that they can relate to, like, immediately.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, like I said, the GNU project is 25 years old, and for a long time we were primarily talking to developers and sysadmins, and not, like, sort of the general computer-using population, although, you know, like, the general computer-using population for a while was really just kind of very intensely technically minded people.
Right, yeah.
That switched, and also, you know, people are kind of wanting to customize their systems a little bit more, have a little bit more control over it,
yeah.
And finding, like, oh, it's not that, like, my music device is incapable technologically of making a copy in this format or, you know, making a copy of this many of this song.
Yeah, it just won't.
It's that I bought and paid for a machine that I don't control.
Yeah,
like, that makes people kind of angry.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they, you know, never want to crack open that machine or whatever, it still makes people kind of angry to know that they bought something, but they don't control it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's something I've been thinking about lately. You might or might not have a comment on it. The whole, you know, GNU/Linux thing, and I'm not going to go to the normal arguments or anything. It seems to me like when I see the word GNU on something, it tells me that that is, quote unquote, a brand of something that is truly concerned about freedom.
Yes.
Capital F freedom. Whereas the term Linux alone doesn't necessarily guarantee that. You know, like some systems I will get because some devices, like my N800 that I'm recording this on right now, I get because it says, yes, we run Linux.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, cool, I like Linux, I'll get that. But you crack it open, and it's actually not like the Linux that you're used to on computers that you download and install the ISO of that distribution. You know, it's got something lacking, it's got something locked out, you can't get root on your own device, things like that without going through, you know, hurdles. Is there any value to keeping GNU, rather than forcing an association with GNU Linux, saying that GNU is more like a badge of freedom or whatever like that?
That's an interesting idea. I mean, I think, like, definitely our goal is computer user freedom. If the operating system that turned out to be the best and most free for people to use, like, stopped being GNU with the Linux kernel,
right.
Then we would say use whatever, like, you know, brand new operating system.
Imaginary,
that, like, whatever,
fantastic,
it was.
Free, yeah.
Whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
We are not really interested in fetishizing the specific instances. We're interested in the overall experience of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, I'm not entirely certain, but I think that the idea of saying GNU/Linux maybe if it was like the John Cougar Mellencamp, and then maybe one day we'll drop the Cougar, I don't know.
Not even drop it, just maintain that GNU as, like, if you're going to use the term GNU, you don't have those binary blobs, maybe, or you don't have MP3 support, or you don't have the MP3 support by default, you know, stuff like that. I don't know, I've been thinking about branding a lot lately. I don't know why, but that's just something that occurred to me, that if I see that GNU in my mind, I think I'm going to go towards that before I'm going to go to something that doesn't even mention the GNU thing, because you're like, well, maybe they don't really care about the freedom aspect. They just want to use this Linux thing because it's flexible and malleable,
right,
and they malleable it into something completely non-free.
Yeah, well, we do definitely, I mean, so it's good to know that what we think, which is that GNU stands for freedom, is what is coming through. As to the specific ways that people use that in language, I don't know if we can control that. I think we can continue to, you know, put out there that that GNU stands for freedom. You know.
And
so
that's an important concept. That that's something that's
desirable
on your desktop or your device or whatever.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we've gotten into this place where people think that you can do some things without moral implications, and then there are other places where you do things with moral implications. And we just don't really live in that kind of a world. Like, that nothing is a null value for, you know, reverberation throughout your the society that you're part of.
Yeah, cool.
And so, you know, if you choose to support proprietary software, it's not, that's not null. That's not a null value.
Right. That's, yeah. No, totally. Well said. One more question.
Sure.
And again, I don't know if, you, I mean, I don't know how big the FSF is. I mean, I know how big the community is. I don't know how big the organization is. What is the general, like, who is the FSF? I mean, what, are they a bunch of hippies, anarchists, business people? Like, who are these people? Who are you all?
We have a really, a pretty diverse office.
Okay.
There's 11 of us in the Boston office.
Okay.
And then we have a board of, I think it's currently five. And they're all over the U.S.
Okay.
And,
but you guys do have a European office, or you just have an
office?
Well,
we have a sister organization,
okay,
the Free Software Foundation Europe.
Okay.
But, so, I mean, we're a mix of folks that are coming at it from a development angle, and then, you know, we have also, like, nonprofit people. Our board is a lot of academic folks, like people who teach. You know, and so it's kind of a mix. And then when you throw into that, like, all of the people that do work on the GNU project, like, some of them work in very, you know, very corporate environments. Like, you know, we sell T-shirts, and they're like, oh, I wish I could wear one to work, but we, you know, it's all Oxford. You know. And so it's a lot of different people. And then, you know, we talk to students, and they're like, oh, yeah, I don't even have to work yet. I still live at home, and, you know, and I'm writing code and contributing to something. And so we have a lot of folks, like, all over the place, like, coming from a lot of different directions. You know, and even even politically, I would say that, you know, the way that politics slices in the U.S. doesn't assign the, you know, the ethos of free software to one particular party or another. You know, so I know that we have folks that, you know, we've got libertarians and we've got anarchists and we've got progressives and we've got, you know, I don't even know what. Like conservatives.
So it really is a very diverse.
I mean, you know, Boston itself is a little, you know, it's fairly progressive. So, like, maybe our Boston people are a little bit more reflective of the general Boston population.
Okay. Cool. That's interesting. Okay. Well, cool. This is, that was really informative. I actually learned a lot. I thought I knew a lot about the FSF, but that was really informative. So, yeah, thanks, Deborah, for talking to me.
Thanks, Claudio.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.